as I started to prepare for this, I realized it's been about a year since I did a teaching, and I did borrow some of the same slides for this because I think it's important. As I go through the as I go through this teaching, you're going to see that we're called to go over things over and over and over again. And so as we rehearse something, we say it one time, we hear it. So many times you hear in the Word how Yahweh remind them, I freed you from Egypt. Well, everybody should know that, but it's like, oh yeah. And that's the same way with me. As I recall and I think about all the miracles, all the things that Yahweh's done for me, it's like, oh yeah, I know that, but I need to redo these and rehear this. So a couple of these things I think is important because it's educational that we need to know that. So start with, we do use the Rotherham Emphasized Bible and Telios Ministries, okay? And Joshua Generation is the 501c3 that we do for the widows and orphans. I'm going to start off here with this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I guess it comes down to this. Are we judged on our thoughts? Think about that. Are we judged on our thoughts? We are. We are. And I'll show that as we go through here. But there are a couple things here to get started. What is a progressive? Okay, we hear that now in today's terms. What's a progressive? You have Hillary Clinton saying that she's a progressive, Bernie Sanders saying that he's a social democrat. Okay, the answer to what a progressive is, it's a modern-day Fabian socialist. I'm going to show what this is here, because we did this once before. The Fabian Society is a British socialist organization, and its purpose was to bring about socialism through gradual incrementalism versus revolution. Communism is done through revolution. Okay, which is now. It happens right now. Within 6 months, you have communism. Socialism, progressivism, Fabianism, those all are done in a slow, steady course to be done. And this is their actual emblem right here. When I strike hard, but it's a turtle. Okay, because a turtle is slow. And so this is what they do. This is progressivism. Okay, this is the Fabian Society's. This was their stained glass thing, and you can see this here. This guy's billowing the fire. They just took the hot earth out, and he's getting ready to mold it the way they want to mold it. Okay? And you see these people down here. Here's their statutes. Okay? And their statutes are what they're all praying to. Okay? Which is democracy, the society, everything else, which is kind of odd. In the middle of that, let me go back here, because in the middle of this, and this is important to know, because right here is the emblem that's right over the top of the earth. This is not by chance. They built this. They made this, not somebody else making it for them. Inside this emblem is this. That is a wolf with sheep's clothing. Okay? This is them doing this. Okay? They didn't even hide it. I mean, they were just so bold. They have now. They have taken this down. They've taken it down now out of they still have the Fabian Society. They removed this to put in a gallery. Okay? But this is it. And that's where when we see this and hear this, this is what the objective is. It's not to tell the truth. Darby, go.
Come here.
I had to stop her in the middle of the purse because she was licking her feet right by the microphone. I'm like going, oh, that's got to be lovely. It wasn't Aaron. Okay, this week is Earth Day week, okay? This is the largest celebration in the world. 1 billion. 1 billion people celebrate Earth Day and the EPA. And there's no coincidence that the two of these are linked together. And I want to show that because the timing for them and everything else was done. And this is important to know. Celebrating the plants and dirts over the people. And people think that Earth Day, oh, it's great, we live in the earth, let's take care of it, let's blah, blah, blah. None of this was established under those principles. And I will show that. From the Earth Day page, okay, this is what it says. Mitigating climate change and pollution. Planting trees absorb excess and harmful CO2 from our atmosphere. In a single year, it takes roughly 96 trees to absorb the amount of CO2 produced by each person. What's the problem here? One problem. People. People are the problem, okay? And I'm going to show you this through the stuff that they have. This is what it is. And so now everybody's being pushed. It's pushed in school at Earth Day. We all have to celebrate Earth Day. And we buy into this paganism that we're worshiping the earth. Plant a tree. Just for all you people out there, I kill hundreds of trees every single year, and I can't keep up with them. I cannot keep up with them. They grow like weeds. Earth Day is a reminder that humanity must be controlled, manipulated, and even destroyed for the good of the planet. The woman who made the book, Silent Spring, okay, Rachel Carson was her name. She is the one. She is the reason the EPA came about. Okay, she's the one who wrote the Silent Spring to stop the issuance of DDT. Malaria was eradicated. It was gone. It was gone from off the face of the earth. She writes a book. The EPA, they handed this out. Basically, she was the grandfather, grandmother, whatever she is, to the EPA. The ban on DDT may have killed 20 million children. That's from one person. The other people who do this, I'll show you some other statistics from this. Okay, Silent Spring and the EPA, banning of DDT has caused the death of an estimated 500 million worldwide, 20 million of children. Now, here's a trivia question for you. What do you think the majority of the people who are dying from malaria, where are they?
In poor countries.
Poor countries. What color are they?
Black.
Yes, they are people who are not white, for crying out loud. That's why when I hear this, it just makes me want to bang my head against the table. I'm like going, this has nothing to do with anything, but the people who fought against this, the biggest culprit, the biggest recipient of these deaths were in these impoverished Africa and South America. That's where they were, okay? Brown people. And that has nothing to do with anything except everybody thinks that we have to stand on this party. This is the party in the group that got rid of this. The first Earth Day, okay, correlates the same time as the starting of the EPA. Okay, same time. Dr. James Bonner, I'll leave it at that, a speaker at the first Earth Day, delivered his message of what the problem was for the Earth. It was an anti-human message proclaiming man as the villain, draining the planet's resources and manipulating it for self-desires. Earth Day. Okay, another one. Earth Day was never to be innocent. From the beginning, it was to control and eradicate what they felt the problem was, the people. Next one here, this guy here, Paul Ehrlich, was invited to speak at the first Earth Day in the United States, where he shared his doomsday vision of the overpopulated planet. He was one of the premier speakers in the first Earth Day. Okay, this is him. He wrote a book. It's called The Population Bomb. Okay, this is him. How to Control America Population. His book, The Population Bomb. And quotes from him. By 1985, enough millions will have died to reduce the Earth's population to some acceptable level, like 1.5 billion people. This is the guy who spoke at the first Earth Day. This is Earth Day, okay? Get rid of the people. Do you know how many people there are on the planet right now? Do we have an idea? 7.3 billion, okay? This is what he wanted. This will help the Earth if we're down to 1.5 billion. In 10 years, that would have been in 1980, all important animal life in the sea will be extinct. Large areas of the coastline will have been evacuated because of the stench of dead fish. More people live on the coastlines of the world than any place else. That is the highest populated. The East Coast, the West Coast of our country, Australia, that falls play to. It's just the way it is. Okay?
Is it related to Al Gore?
Yeah, I don't know. But in a speech, Ehrlich compared having babies to throwing garbage into your neighbor's yard. And that is a quote. That is a quote. Having a child is like throwing your garbage into the neighbor's backyard. So this is the humanity that people that started the whole Earth Day and the EPA, this is their philosophy, is how they feel of life. So here's my question to that, because everybody hears all the time, we're so overpopulated. We're so overpopulated. So here's some fun facts right here. How many people and where will they fit? So many. Where are we going to put them on? Where are we going to put them on? Here's some facts. Manhattan. Would people in the world think that people in Manhattan had it pretty good? Yeah. Would they think that they had space and they were okay? If everyone lived in the same density as Manhattan, the entire human race could fit in New Zealand. Here's something. This webpage right here, this is a progressive webpage that I took these facts from. This isn't a right-wing place that did this. This is showing. And so here it is. The entire human race, if they lived like Manhattan did, could fit in New Zealand. Here's another one. Now, if you put everybody shoulder to shoulder, and I mean literally like you get into a crowded bus, how big of an area do you think the entire world's population could fit? That's the city of New York. And the people, the mathematicians that did this, took the amount of people, which is 7.3 billion people, and put them where how many people could you put in a square meter, everybody standing, huddled together, you could fit the entire world population in the city of New York. Okay? This is it. And so when you hear this garbage about, well, it's overpopulated, it's this, it's that, I'm like going, it's just garbage. It's garbage. And we have to get rid of people. We have to do this. And it's anti-people, the Earth Day. That's what it was founded on. And now we're being tricked in the wolf in sheep's clothing to believe that it's something other than population control. And that's exactly what that's their goal. That's where they strive for. This was another one, okay? Because where this progresses to and where this leads to, this was this week. White privilege activists at White Privilege Conference. Wow. Everything bad comes from Christianity. This is what his theme was for his conference. Everything bad comes from Christianity. During his presentation, he pointed out three main problems, which he said were basically the severe consequences of Christianity. First was the unrest in the Middle East is a byproduct of trying to bring Western ideas and customs into the non-Western world. I might show him some geography and ask him where Christianity was started, okay, to see exactly what he's talking about. But this is stuff now that's being told. And trust me, your kids are going to hear these things. Everybody in school, this is coming. This is what's on the future, what's going on. The Earth Day is now gripped to where it's a completely innocent thing. These are coming next. Second is alleging the idea of a godlike invisible hand that drives the economy is actually to blame for economic unrest. And third, Christianity is to blame for global warming because the religion teaches people to believe that God rules over the planet instead of teaching people to treat the earth as sacred. Okay? Him having this and doing this is also no coincidence that this is right in line with Earth Day, which is Friday. Okay? And so this is the thing we hear. This is where it's an attack against Christ. It's just a blatant attack against Christ. And this guy here, he goes, well, I am. They interviewed him and asked him, they said, do you have any spiritual likeness to anything? And he goes, well, yeah, not Christianity. I like some of the Indians, and it was a tribe of Indians because they worship the earth. And I'm like going, exactly. Okay, we all knew that. That was coming. All right, let's get fired up here because in doing this, we're looking at how to capture and to control the thoughts that we have to keep us from going down these lines and buying into things that the world tries to push upon us. So let's go to John 15, and I'll start off with having an adult read some of the longer ones. We do have a few verses here, so we'll kind of have to roll through here kind of quickly. 15. Verses 18 through 25, and we're going to be on page 111.
I'll read.
Okay, 18 through 25.
If the world is hating you, you are getting to know that me before you it hath hated. If of the world ye have been, the world of its own have been fallen. Now because of the world ye are not. On the contrary, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world doth hate you. Remember the word which I spake unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If me they persecuted, you too will they persecute. If my word they kept, your own also will they keep. But all these things will they do unto you on account of my name, because they know not him that sent me. Had I not come and spoken unto them, sin had they none. But now have they no excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And had I not done among them the works which no other had done, sin had they none. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father. But the word which is in their law is written might be fulfilled. They hated me without cause.
That's it. Hated me without cause. And so when we look about and we get persecuted, we have to realize that if you do not succumb to the world is going to hate you. And so what's the flavor of the month for the world? Well, it's going to change all the time. It's going to change to whoever wants it to direct or to control what the world says you have to be. And so we're currently now, we have to accept people for whatever they say. So if a person tells me they're a cat, a person comes up and he said, I'm a cat, and then starts meowing, I have to say, oh, well, that's nice, you're a cat. And that's what we're supposed to do. Okay? And so that's the flavor of it. And Christ is telling them, they're going to hate you without cause because they hated me without cause. But they hate me, they also hate my Father. And so they do not have me within them. And so as we go through this, a couple other scriptures, because I had too many to go through and read them all. Adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity to Yahweh. Whosoever, therefore, is minded to be afraid of the world, an enemy of Yahweh doth constitute himself. So there's no doubt about this when we see this, that there's a division, that there's a parting between the world, those that say we are in the world and the world is ours, and those that says we're in this world but we are not of it. You guys remember when I did the teaching about navigation, and 1 degree off in 60 miles, okay, is you're off by over a mile. Okay, in that amount of time. That's how fast it goes off. And so that's why I think when Yahweh tells us to go over and rehearse these and go back over these things, is those are course corrections. And we used to do that when the pilots, the navigator would shoot sail. And so he'd actually stick his electronic sextant that'd go up through the plane, and he'd look at it, and it was just so they keep current. And then he'd look at it and come back down on his charts and say, okay, pilot, I need you to come to this direction. Because you'd swayed off just a little bit, and now you come back over and course correct. And the timing, everything with the timing, you're supposed to be over this point at this time, and you'd be looking at it going, where we are now and where we need to go. We're behind a little bit. Push the power up. We need to speed up a little bit. And these are the types of things that as we do this through the Word will correct those and give us those corrections if we go to it and we don't go to the world. If we go to the world to get our course corrections, it's not going to parallel. It's going to just take off to one side or the other. Understanding how the world thinks. And so when we see this, in the same way that Christ said, don't think because you following me that people are going to like you. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. So when people try to analyze, well, what's wrong with the world if this would have taken place, if that would have taken place? And I think about that with the adversary. Did the adversary have it pretty good in heaven? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And still was disobedient. Was disobedient. And so why? Was his father bad to him? No. Okay, it's absurd. There is evil. Different upbringing, more love. Not going to make a difference. Thoughts of the world leading to becoming lovers of the world. The thoughts of the mind steer the body. We've heard that before, where the tongue is the rudder. Okay, what comes off the tongue normally starts in the thoughts. Okay, it comes off in the thoughts. Now, there'll be time where a person just rambles, but normally, that's why, you know, you hear somebody say, when somebody says something when they're drunk, it's normal because that's what they really feel, that's their thoughts. That's what I'm looking at. The thoughts steer the body, and so controlling our thoughts. And so when, yes, are we subject to being judged by our thoughts or to have to repent for our thoughts? Absolutely. What's it say about looking upon a woman with lust? You've already done it. You've already done it. So is your thoughts corruption? Absolutely. And that's where it's straight, wrangle these thoughts, corral them. Because the thoughts will come and you're like going, as fast as they come, get rid of them. And I always think about it this way. When you're on a computer and you're going to do something and you're like, oh, this is going to be a cool video, and you go to start it and a pop-up shows up right in the middle. And then you got to find that teeny little X that's buried somewhere in there to get rid of it. And you're like going, it's annoying. That's the same thing. We'll have those types of things happen to us that you have to click that X and move on. Victory is the winning the battle of our minds. Okay, in Proverbs 4:23, any kids want to read that for me?
Winning the battle of our minds.
Yeah, just read it right off the screen.
Above all that must be guarded, keep thou thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life.
That's exactly it. Out of the heart are the issues of life, okay? Out of our thoughts. Something comes in as a thought, and you act upon that thought, or you entertain that thought, or you harbor those thoughts. It comes out in actions in time. For just as he hath thought in his own mind, so he is. That's Proverbs 23:7. Again, we are accountable for our thoughts. Actions birthed in our thoughts are seeds. Okay, there are seeds within us. And if we don't go through there and round up those seeds and pluck those seeds out, like I used to remember, we had one of those goofy long forks that you pop the dandelions out, and every year us kids would grab a 5-gallon bucket and one of those old rusty things, and you do that, and you pop them out to get rid of them, because if you just cut them down and mow them down, they come right back up. And that's the same thing. And what happens to a dandelion if it's this too long? It turns to seed, and now it spreads everywhere. And it's the exact same way. Anger, jealousy, lust, hatred, vanity, all things that stem and come in from thoughts, all thought process, all thoughts that have to be... The victory is the battle between the ears. The mind deceived by thoughts. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, and we're going to be on page 188, I believe. Yep, page 188. And I'll let one of the children read this once you get there. Okay, page 188.
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceive Eve in his craftiness. Your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ. For I indeed that he had commiss is proclaiming another Jesus whom we have not proclaimed, or a different spirit ye are receiving, which ye had not received, or a different
glad message,
which ye never welcome ye are well bearing.
You're well bearing. In other words, you're well accepting of it. You're well accepting this glad message that's come in. And saying that, he's talking to everybody. He's not just talking to the women about being deceived. He's talking to this group, the congregation, that they were deceived by the adversary coming in and deceiving them with this information. And these people took a hold of it, and they grasped a hold of it, and now they are well-bearing. In other words, it's just part of life now. It's just become part of it. And this is the warning that we've got to guard against these, and we've got to have those course corrections. Sometimes those course corrections can be pretty brutal. You know, you think about that. I'm on the road, now I'm off the road. To get back on the road, I've got to cross over this fence, I've got to go up this hill, I've got to do all these things, and it might be tough. It might be tough, but to get back to it, this is what he's saying. Don't become accustomed to these things. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the crafty one. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. And that's exactly where it stems from. And that's where you can see somebody who's been just eaten up with anger, where they're going to lash out, or that they're holding something against that. I think about somebody who the vitriol that will come against somebody that's completely innocent. There was a woman that was at one of the, she came to one of the it was a parade, and it was a homosexual pride parade. And she just brought a scripture up there. She wasn't pushing anything or anything else, and they knocked this woman down and stole her stuff. And I think to myself, what fear was she? What did she cause? Was she a threat to anybody? To shut her up, to get rid of her, okay? To get rid of these types of things, that this is what happens. And so that anger and that vitriol, that you could look at this woman that you know is a grandmother and be able to justify how you can do this. And that's exactly right. I mean, look at what took place throughout all of World War II, where they were killing out millions of people, and justifiably they were doing it. It was illegal by their laws. It was legal for them to do it. Who controls the mind controls the person. And so when we have grasp of our mind, we can control our actions and reset them. Let's go to Romans. Back to the left a few pages. Chapter 8, I'm sorry, and we're going to be on page 157.
There.
Oh, check you out. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you read the first three? Okay, we'll give everybody a chance to get there. Chapter 8, verse 5, and then you read 5 through 8, and then I'll let somebody else read the others.
For they who according to flesh have their being, the things of the flesh do prefer, but they according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For what is preferred by the flesh is death.
Isn't that uninteresting to tell somebody that your what your flesh wants is just death? And people will be like, no, well, this is enlightenment. This is the truth. This is real. This is the world, and we have to do this. We have to do that. And yet what the Word says is that their flesh is it's death. It seeks after death. Where that of the Spirit seeks after the Spirit. Go ahead there. Finish there in 6 there, honey.
Whereas what is preferred by the Spirit is life and peace. Inasmuch as what is preferred by the flesh is hostile towards Yahweh. For unto the law of Yahweh it does not submit itself, neither is death from it. They, moreover, who in flesh have their being, cannot please Yahweh. But ye have not your being in flesh, but in spirit.
And before we go on here, let's think about this here for a second. In 7b there, for unto the law of Yahweh doth it not submit itself. These are people who are not within the Spirit. It does not submit itself, neither in fact can it. Okay? So when we look at the people and we're like going, what's wrong with this person? Why can't you grasp this? Okay? They can't. They can't do it unless they have submitted and taken Christ and have the salvation and have the Spirit. This is how it's done. So he's explaining this, explaining, okay, these people you look at and you're like, going, Clay, this is so clear. It's so crystal clear. Why can't you grasp that? Not going to. Who would like to read 9, 10, and 11 for me?
I will.
No.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. But ye have not your being in flesh, but in spirit. If at least Elohim's spirit dwelleth in you, and if anyone hath not Christ's spirit, the same is not his. But if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead by reason of sin, whereas the spirit is life by reason of righteousness. If moreover the spirit of him that raised Yehoshua from among the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised from among the dead Christ Jesus shall make alive even your death-doomed bodies through means of his indwelling spirit within you.
Very good. And that's it. And so that's where we see it. And so we're getting explanation on this so that when people look at it, and especially people who are babes in Christ that can't understand, well, why does this person see this? What happens is, who is steering who in those relationships? Okay? The worldly person is steering the babe, and they're allowing them to be yoked up, to be steered versus the other direction. And this is what's happening. And this is where you see the pull of the church, where now the church goes off course, or the body goes off course against what Yahweh's calling them to do. Those devoted to earthly things. Let's take a peek at that. Flip over to Philippians, page 204, 18 through 20. Who would like to read that for me?
Me.
Go ahead. 18 through 20.
For many are walking of whom I have often been telling you, and now even weeping, and am telling the enemies of the cross of the Christ, whom in this destruction, who Yahweh is the belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who upon the earthly things are
resolved
for our season, for the heaven hath it rise before all, see we hath we already all
do we ardently await
with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it. Okay, and so when you see this here, and we go through this, I want to kind of draw attention to this a little bit. For many are walking of whom I have often been telling you, and now even weeping and telling, the enemies of the cross of Christ. Why would you have an enemy of the cross of Christ? Yes, Christ is telling you, here, take this. And people are going to fight against it. They're going to hate you because of that. They hated him because of that. They fought against this. Whose end is destruction, and whose Elohim is the belly or the body, and whose glory is in their shame. Upon the earthly things are resolved. And then our citizenship, it tells you the difference between us. And so when we look at these things, yeah, why would somebody just blatantly go out and attack? We will protect the homosexuals, and we will protect the Muslims, and make defense for them right after something takes place. But yet the Christians, holy cow, you find a Christian's done something, you attack. And even if you don't, you still find reason to. Like I said, the white privilege thing, that Christianity's is the problem. That's the problem in the world. That's it. And that's exactly what Yahweh's referring to in his word here. The lawless one, in the loftiness of his countenance, will not inquire. Elohim is not in any of his plots. Okay, so we see that. Yeah, they're not the farthest thing from that. It's the exact opposite. In his plots, no, Yahweh's not even a thought in there, doing the exact opposite. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Now let that soak in, okay? Let that soak in. Those that do not seek and those that have hard hearts, they're not going to see. And think about this back in Genesis, when they came to Sodom and Gomorrah and the people turned and were blinded and yet still tried to attack and find. And you're like going, don't you think when you couldn't see it and you became blinded that, whoa, what's going on here? But yet it probably just encouraged them even more, almost like a shot of caffeine going through them, that they just became even more enraged. And this is what it says, that they've been blinded, that have blinded the minds of the unbelieving. They're not going to see because they don't want to see. To the end, they may not discern the radiance of the glad message of the glory of Christ, of the Christ, who is the image of Yahweh. New mind of Christ. Okay, which is where we fight for and constantly battle. And as we go, that we're subject to change ourselves and to capture the win, if you will. The victory comes from being able to control the thoughts and wrangle those thoughts. And be not conforming yourselves unto this age, but be transforming yourselves and renewing of your mind. To the end, you may be proving what is the thing willed by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and the perfect. Okay, so when we fall short, this is still where we go. Flip over here to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:12, and I'll read this here, 12 through 16. We're going to be on page 166.
I'm
on. 167. Check how fast you are.
I'm already on.
It's you guys. Oh, yeah, that's cheating.
What's about cheating?
I know. Okay, here we go. Starting in 12 through 16, 1 Corinthians, page 167. But as for us, not the spirit of the world have we received, but the spirit which is of Yahweh, that we might know the things which by Yahweh have been given in favor unto us. Same way here I look at this with when the Egyptians were leaving, or not the Egyptians, when the Israelites, the Jews were leaving Egypt, and they gave them everything. Yeah. And they took all their possessions, and the people just gave them. And I'm like going, whose possessions are they? Well, we think that they were the Egyptians.
No.
They aren't the Egyptians, okay? It's the same thing with the earth. Whose earth is this? It is not ours. For us to think that we have ownership of this earth is just, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous to do that. So, yeah, by the favor unto us. So, sorry, go back into 12. But as for us, not the spirit of the world have we received, but the spirit which is of Yahweh, that we might know the things which by Yahweh he hath given in favor unto us, which we also speak, not in the words taught of human wisdom, but in such are taught of the Spirit, by spiritual words, spiritual things explaining. But a man of the soul, or man of the world, if you will, doth not welcome, or man of the flesh, doth not welcome the things of the Spirit of Yahweh, for they are foolishness unto him. Okay, absolutely. This was, how long ago was this written? Extremely applicable all the time. And cannot get to know them. Because spiritually they are examined. But the man of the Spirit, on the other hand, examineth all things. But on the other hand, he himself, by one, is examined. For who hath come to know the mind of the Lord that shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's it. And so again, this is explanation of it so people can look at this and be able to understand and be able to keep ourselves directed. And think about the scripture too that said, he who hath little, even that will be taken and given to him who hath much. Well, that's just completely absurd in today's standards. Are you kidding me? Oh, just take from this and give to the wealthy. Not by my words, by Yahweh's words. Why does he say that? Because he is rewarding those that are following his ordinances, his commandments. So yeah, you can take from him who has little and give him to him who has much. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, guess what? This is Yahweh's design, not my design. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Let's flip over to 2 Corinthians. Next book over. Chapter 10.
Yeah.
Page 187. We'll let somebody else here read this. Maybe an adult read this one here. 10:3-5.
For though in flesh we walk not, according to flesh do we war. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty, by Yahweh unto a pulling down of strongholds. When we pull down calculations and every height that uplifteth itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and when we bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of the Christ.
That's it. And so I like that here. The strongholds, that this is not a war of flesh where we can go down there and we can convince. This is the strongholds. This is the attack, and this is the attack against the body of Christ. It's an attack directly against Yahushua. Philippians, a couple more here, gang. Philippians 4. Excuse me. And it's going to be on page 204.
May I read it?
You may read it, sweetheart. 8 and 9. Give everybody a chance to get there. 4, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
Ready? Yep, I'm ready.
For the rest, blessing.
Enduring.
Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are diffident, whatsoever things are righteous, whatsoever things are chaste, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and it and praise, the same be talking in you into
account.
Account.
Mm-hmm.
Me things. The things which ye have both learned and accept and heard, that seeing it be the same praises,
practices,
and the Yahweh of peace shall be with you.
That's it. And so what he's telling you is these things, all these things that we're called to, and I love the poetic lining up of that of verse 8, and the chaste is the pure, and you see there's a long note there under G for the pure, okay, of the impurities like those fleshly. Okay, and so when you see these are the things to focus. These are the things for the rest, brethren, okay, to put into practice. The things you've learned and accepted and heard, put into practice. Not to just hold and to bank, and yes, I know this, but to practice. And you see in here, and I put this in here, in verse 8, taking into an account. You see that where it says, taking into account is to mediate. That's the word for that, to mediate. It's a thought. Take these into account. Process those. Let those things soak in and go through. The things on high, hold in esteem. Set in your mind. That's what that means. Hold in esteem. To let us set your mind, not the things upon the earth. For us to separate ourselves from that. So as the earth becomes more corrupt, you know, we look at it always that it's the worst that it's ever been, and not even close. Not even close. But it is horrible in a lot of areas of things that are taking place and wickedness that runs rampant, that we're supposed to process and think about the things that are the good things and not the things upon the earth or the things that come upon us. So as we look in this, the prominent issue, this is kind of a slam upon the Earth Day. Prominent issue on the first Earth Day in 1970. Anybody want to take a guess what it was?
Lenin's birthday.
No. It was one of the issues. One of the issues, though, why we have to have Earth Day.
Letter. Did you get rid of mankind?
Global cooling.
Oh. Global cooling.
Oh.
We were going to be, and the quotes that I had, and I didn't put them up there for lack of time, or for not having enough time for doing it. By the age of 2000, Y2K, the Earth would be frozen over.
Oh, my goodness.
Be over 11 degrees temperature difference minimum across the Earth. Over 11 degrees, okay? And the Earth would be frozen over. And yet, we can quickly change this. And so what happens now, it's the history of now. Don't look back in 1970 of what we prophesied for 2000. We're telling you on 2016, by 2025, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And nobody will hold this accountable by 2025 because we'll just erase that and get rid of that. But this was the thing. This is what the Earth Day was. Is a global cooling. We had to do something now because global cooling. And you know what the problem was?
People.
Carbon dioxide from people. The carbon dioxide was going to cause the global cooling. 1970, global warming wasn't even a concern. It was the farthest thing. As a matter of fact, the people back then said that if we had global warming, it would increase the crop productivity by having global warming. But that's not what we were going to have. We were going to have the exact opposite. And so this is where we look at this, and I'm just like going, really? But this is where the world, it's like a dog chasing its tail. You're never going to get it. And so people look at it going, well, if the dog would just speed up a little bit faster, he could catch it. And this is the idea that people across the world look at. Ecologist Kenneth Watt even predicted the Ice Age by 2000. We'll close here in 2 Peter, right between 1 and 3 Peter. 2 Peter... going to be on page 244. And I will read this here. 3, 1 through 7, page 244. Everybody there? All right, 1 through 7. This already, beloved, is the second letter I'm writing unto you. Why? Why am I writing the second letter? And in these letters, I am stirring up by way of calling to remembrance. Remembrance. And so when we see these, okay, we've read it, we understand. The world is constantly gripping at you. It's like, you know, it's like a, something that seeps in, and if it doesn't get plugged and stopped up before long, it becomes a ship will sink from a small leak that slowly builds itself up. And that's what we're looking at with the remembrance. I'm writing this to you, calling to remembrance your uncorrupted mind. Okay, your thoughts, to remember the forespoken declaration made by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior by your apostles. Of this first taking note, that there will come in the last of the days with scoffing scoffers, yeah, and with their covetings going on and saying, what is the promise of this presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things thus remain from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that there were heavens from of old and on earth on account of water and by means of water compacted by Yahweh's word, which by means of the world that was then with water being flooded perished. Whose world was it? Okay, so did the people back in those days think, well, if they would have picked up an aluminum can and maybe, you know, drove a hybrid cow, that they would save themselves? Absolutely not. While the heavens and the earth that now are, by the same word, have been stored with fire, being kept in that day of judgment and destruction of an ungodly man. I think that was it, an ungodly man. And so when we think of this, I think about that there, that is stored for fire, stored with fire, that the next time that it's going to be done is going to be done by fire. And so think of it this way. You've got the person who's standing outside of a demolition derby, okay? And the car's getting ready to go through the gate into the demolition derby, and somebody wants to come by and wash the windows, okay? Really doesn't matter. There's only one thing that does matter, and what you're focusing on something that's completely trivial and makes no difference. It's going to go through the pin and get wiped out. It's going to be completely crushed and beat up. And that's where the only thing that saves is from Christ. And this is where the people, they're not going to understand, nor are they going to want to, because without the Spirit, they're not going to get it. So, anyways. All right, we'll close there. Hang on just a second. We'll have a closing word here and then a word from people listening. Yahweh, we thank you again for the opportunity to come before you. We thank you for what you have given us, Yahweh, that you have given us a wonderful creation. And that we thank you for this, that everything we see and all the sounds of the earth and of everything, that it just speaks out harmony to you, Yahweh, and blessings to you. And let us be not unlike the animals that do this, but let us be the higher ones that speak to you and praise your name and praise you for the things you've done. That we come before you, knowing that we are in this world but we are not of it, that our promise and our future is in a new earth and a new heaven. And so we thank you for this. We thank you that we're able to renew our mind continually, and that we do not go with the flow of that of the world, but that we are different, and that we set our course upon the course that you give us, and that even as the winds and the rain and the storms come against us that are of this world that distract us and pull us away, that we correct our course, and that we renew our mind and our thoughts, that we do not become complacent to these things, and that we do not take on the new age of these things or let the sins that you have boldly spoken against that are have been in the earth since the beginning, that we do not grab hold of these as this is normal or these things are okay, that we follow your words, and that your words are setting us free, and that they are the deliverance, and that they keep us in line and holy, that we may be faithful and obedient to you and your words and your precepts. And we thank you, Yahweh, for us. We thank you for the words that you give. And all this through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, let the flames of your heart be aglow, that I may be able to breathe down upon you, that I may be able to show you favor, and I may show you grace, that I may show you the plans that I have, that in these things, that it does not take somebody that is of a special quality or a special caliber. It takes somebody who has the willingness of the heart to be able to turn and to be steerable and to be malleable, that you may be able to be molded and that you may be humble. For humbleness is something I call down upon you, that the humbleness of your heart is going to allow you to fall down before me and to be able to receive these things, that I may be able to freely give them to you and pour out upon you the graces that I have in store for you. So call upon me and speak of these things, and firstly read my words, and read my words that you may know the desires, that this is the manual, as you would put, as you would place something together for instructions that has to be assembled. You look at the manual, and then you look at the picture, and then you start to put your hands to work with this. And I call you to do these things as well, that as you do these things, that you will see a great masterpiece be built before you.